Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with Dr. Reggie. Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Wonderful. We are your hosts this morning on this glorious, glorious Wednesday. This is hump day, and I'm loving it. Oh, my God. Anyway, we have Gloria Wells, who moderates our chat room. She's here with us this morning, and if she can hear my voice, I'm asking her to please give us a call so she can tell us about our next book study, and that's coming up real soon, which is called, I know this,
Critical Addiction?
Yes, it's on Critical Addiction. I can't remember exactly the exact title, but she'll call in and tell us all about it. It's going to be a great journey with her, and I'm really looking forward to her teaching. If you guys have not read her blog, you need to check out her blog. And she'll tell you all about that as well. Anyway, Dr. Reggie.
Yes.
How are you this morning?
I just feel so energized today. I don't know what it is. A burst of energy just swept over me. Boom. You know, so it felt, wow, it's like being baptized in an invisible cosmic energy of love and power. So it feels good.
It was, you know what? We were having breakfast, and I was watching you eat, and you were you were like a little boy. It was like, oh, I'm so glad to have this meal. And it was just so, you had so much energy, and there was this twinkle in your eye. Oh, my God. So much joy.
Yes.
I knew you were in great spirits this morning.
Yes, absolutely. Just,
it just went all through my soul to see you
amen.
That way.
I'm glad.
Wow. You know, isn't God good?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we are so grateful this morning to be able to wake up and to share the joy that's running through us right now and to share that with you and infuse you with this joy for living. You, sometimes life presents problems to us and challenges to us, but we can still remain joyful. And how do we get to that state of consciousness? Where no matter what the problems are, that you still have this joy. It's unspeakable joy. And we're going to talk about that today. So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our opening prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. The first level of getting anything that we want in this life to work for us is to be grateful. So we are grateful for every single aspect of living, from the cells that keep us alive, to our blood that runs upside down in our body against the laws of gravity, for vision, which is upside down, to see right side up in this world. We thank you for growth, for energy, for healing, and for everything that is granted to us. We know that being thankful will bring the energy and power of success, growth, and prosperity. And we know that being grateful will help us to persevere against all hardships and carry us through. And we know that you are with us and the forces are right behind us to help us ride the waves of golden sunlight to allow money to come in and for our business endeavors to flourish and to bring a sacred power to our whole resolve of everything we want to do, starting with gratitude. I thank you for circles of prosperity and for those who listen, for them to prosper and to flourish and to have success, and to grow. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. You know, we are studying the book, Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, Balancing a Spiritual Life and an Earthly Living by Jim Rosemurgy. Key word here is mystics. Mystics. This is not everybody, it's mystics. And if you notice, as we've been going through this book, he is really focusing on being a mystic. And what does that mean? That means being, experiencing the presence of God in your life continuously, every day. Being in the presence. And he's really focusing on getting clear about that God is your supply. Our God is the source, excuse me. God is the source, but it is your consciousness of the presence that is the supply. It is being the mystic that is the supply. So today we're going to talk about moving into a state of consciousness where we don't have to. Where we have no needs, where we're moving in, that's moving into being a mystic. Now, I live with a mystic. Dr. Reggie is a mystic. And let me tell you what I know about him, and then we'll talk about what's in the, what this author is talking about. So I'm coming from that place of knowing what it is to be live with a mystic. It is extremely frustrating to live with a mystic. If you are caught up in the world. So I was raised in a family where material things was, you know, important. I mean, we all have lived that way where we feel that we have to have things, not so much to make us happy, but even to just feel secure. We have to have things. Dr. Reggie, the mystic, needs nothing. Dr. Reggie, the mystic, wants for nothing. When we who are in the world have a problem, we are feverishly looking for a way to solve the problem. We feel like we have to do something. Dr. Reggie, the mystic, never stresses himself out trying to figure out how he's going to solve it. He will say, you know, I trust in God. End of story. End of story. So, how, and this is what has intrigued me for over 25 years. How does he stay in that state of consciousness despite all the drama going on around him? And how is it that, you know, material things are not important to him? How is it that a job and a title and position means nothing to him? I have been so honored to be in his life and to live with him. I've just been so honored because this is a precious way to live as a mystic. It brings everything into perspective. And as I was going through this book, you know, this book and the teachings are so different from some of the things that we've been talking about here in Circles of Prosperity, because we've been focusing a lot on the world. But he is talking about taking your consciousness to another level, into the way of living as a mystic. and certain things that where our focus has been, especially in, with like the law of attraction, and when we say the word prosperity, we're always thinking about material things. But the prosperous life is really the life of a mystic. It's the, a prosperous life is about being knowing your connection with God. Knowing who you really are. So he calls this chapter The Journey to No Needs. Though Jesus said it is harder, and we have covered some of this, and I'm going to go back and review it because I think it is so important. Jesus said it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. In truth, only the rich can enter the kingdom. This statement does not contradict the wisdom of Jesus. It redefines what it is to be rich. Because we normally define being rich as how much money we have. And I love this story because he says there's a disagreement usually over how much money one must have to be considered rich. I counseled a man many years ago who said that he was wiped out financially and had only $20,000 in the bank. And I listened intently because at the time my family had about $300 in the bank. He had $20,000 and he was absolutely devastated. We had $300 and we felt secure. The polls say that some people believe a person is rich when he or she makes a yearly income of $150,000. So for some, being rich requires far less money, while for others, much, much more. In chapter 2, we discovered that a mystic measures riches in another way. When we are still and when we experience that presence, we enter into a state of consciousness where there are no needs. There is nothing that we require. We have God, and God has us. The two are one. And asking ceases. Why? Because there is contentment, and there is fulfillment, and it inhabits our souls. So the desire to ask God for anything indicates that we have not entered into that no need state. We are outside the kingdom. Are you guys understanding what he's saying here? And 'cause I'm going to be honest. I hear the words. I'm sharing the words with you. But I haven't shifted into that consciousness. I have moments, but I'm not fully 100% there. He even goes on to say that this is a great challenge for us as human beings, for often the needs rule the day, because we are confronted by what we think we need, but that we do not have. So there's this food, we're looking for food, we're looking for drink, we're looking for shelter. These are all the needs of the body. We're even looking for relationships. And we want a reason for being, a purpose for our existence and a mission. But these desires, yes, they are natural, And the Bible tells us that our Father knoweth that we have need of these things. But then the Bible also gives us this wisdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. So we don't have to make them our reason for living. We are spiritual beings, and we're destined to give expression to the infinite. Now, what does that mean? It means your whole purpose for being on planet Earth in this incarnation is to be an expression of God. You are a vehicle for the divine energy to flow through. That is your purpose. That is your number one purpose. All that God is pours from within us into our lives and the lives of others. I'm asking you to breathe and hear these words. All that God is pours from within. It's not coming from outside of you. It's already inside of you. It fills you up. It animates your body. Your organs function because of that life force energy that's in you, that divine energy that is in you. We keep looking outside. We keep looking to heaven. We keep thinking that something is so far away. We think we can never live this life. We can never bring in this powerful energy. And all along, we're walking around with it. Inside of us. What you are looking for, you already have. What you seek so desperately, you already have. What the things that you think will make you have that unspeakable joy, you already have. It's inside of you. The pursuit requires our attention, even though the tug of the human condition is strong. In other words, when we're looking outside and we're looking at the world, we will always think that we need something. You know, the advertising community, they are betting on you looking outside of yourself to prove your worth. So when you flip on the television, or when you turn on the radio, or when you are driving down the street and looking at the billboards, or when you pick up a magazine and flip through, the magazines have no information in them hardly at all. Pictures, 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 advertising, 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 to titillate you, to, oh, I need this. Why? I want this. All of that to fulfill this desire that this will make me wonderful, this will make me glorious, and oh my goodness, you were designed wondrously and gloriously. You have everything you need. You know, there's a scripture that says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That means the world. But to God, the things that are God's. And the key is the no-need state. The first verse in in Psalm 23rd, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Meaning what? I have supply. When I'm in the consciousness that of my divine self, of the essence of God within me, I have supply. I need nothing. David was just a shepherd boy, and he became a king, and he discovered this key as the words of what was to become this 23rd Psalm, and it filled his mind, because the first verse of the Psalm describes the no-need state. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we are consciously one with God, we cannot want. We have everything. There is nothing for which to ask for. And that's a powerful state of being. There is nothing, no thing that we have need to ask for. This is an awareness of true riches and well-being. It is more than a feeling of security that gives us solace for the moment. It is evidence of a consciousness that we first feel as fulfillment, but which will, like any state of consciousness, manifest itself as our life experiences. And through it, our earthly needs are met. Listen to that. Now, let's go back here. He says, it is evidence of a consciousness that we first feel as fulfillment, but which will, like any state of consciousness, manifest itself as our life experiences. So in other words, if we can move into this consciousness, awareness of the divine essence in us, and that which puts us in the presence of God, which therefore gives us our supply, and we know it with every part of our being. Consciousness is awareness. When we are aware that God is our source, and our consciousness is our supply, then we have no need for anything. So, and then he says, that consciousness manifests as our life experiences. And what are we teaching here? That what we think about, we talk about, and what we talk about, we bring about. So if you are consciously aware of God as source and supply, then there's no need. It eliminates the need. Does that make sense? It eliminates the need for anything. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Whoa. That's a huge challenge. And I know a lot of you tune into Circles of Prosperity because I'm taking you on a whole nother journey today, because I'm talking about prosperity from a whole nother place. Even though I have taught you these principles, but I'm asking you to shift beyond your physical world and into the unseen world. And I've said this just the other day, because that's the journey that we're on with this book, shifting from the world and moving into the state of consciousness where we have no needs, becoming a mystic. Truly becoming a mystic. The whole vibration of this teaching is different. It's even different for me. As a matter of fact, I said to Dr. Reggie, I said, there's something about, because the words and how they're pulled together, the vibration is so different. And I discovered what it was, and it's because it's moving us into another frame of consciousness of being a mystic beyond the world. So I'm taking this journey with you. And I know that if I'm having challenges in shifting into that consciousness, into that awareness of the presence where I have no needs, I know you're being challenged by it too. So stick with me. It's a journey. And guess what? Here's what I know. These are only seeds that are being planted, that it takes time for us to shift. It may be months, it may be years. And you may discard this teaching altogether and say, it's not relevant for me. I still need my BMW. That's okay. Truly, it's okay. He has a section here that he calls that the fields are white for harvest. And he mentioned that phrase earlier in the book, the fields are white for harvest. He says in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus is teaching his disciples this very important spiritual principle. I speculate that Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the winter when the fields were barren, and how surprised they must have been, the disciples, when Jesus stretched forth his hand to the wind swept and the desolate fields and said, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. And how puzzled the disciples must have been. He speaks of the harvest when the fields are barren. Is he mad? No, because he sees and he knows what other people have yet to discover. Because every barren life has within it a bountiful harvest. But the seeds to be cast to the wind are not earthly. It is not even the seeds of positive thinking or expectancy. The harvest does not come by asking for what appears to be lacking, but by experiencing that no-need state that yields a bountiful harvest even in the winter. And so what he is declaring is, your harvest is not that which you are seeking and asking for. Your harvest is being in the consciousness, in the awareness. That you have everything you need despite what you see. It's not even acknowledging that you need something. Wow, I'm telling you, I'm having long pauses here because I'm breathing and absorbing that truth. Can I move through today without a need? With acknowledging I have no need of anything. Why? Because I am in the consciousness of a continuous and abundant supply. Why? Because I'm in the consciousness and the awareness of the presence of God. And it's not anything that you have to work for. It's everything that you just need to release. That's all. Let go, let go, let go. So maybe the best thing for us to do is just everything, I need so-and-so. No, I'm going to let go of that. The exercise should be, what can I let go of? I don't need that. I don't need that. Let me let go. If you want to lose weight and you're working so hard at losing weight, let go. Because what happens when you're trying to lose weight? You say, okay, I'm going to cut back on what I eat. Okay, that's more work and effort, is it not? And so now you're like, okay, I can only have this. I can only have that. And there's so much stress around it. And then you're like, oh, forget this. I'm just going to go ahead and eat it. And then you feel guilty about it. But how about if you say, you know what? I'm just going to let this go. I don't need to drink this soda. Not because you want to lose weight. I'm letting it go. I'm just going to let this go. I have no need for sweets. I have no need. And you're coming from that place of God is my source. I'm not going to even worry about what I'm going to eat today or what I'm going to make for dinner. As you start, can you imagine letting go? And knowing that everything is going to be okay. I believe that's the message that Jim Rosemurgy is trying to bring us into the awareness of. That we just let go. And that's a huge challenge for us. To just let go. He says, the no-need state with this gift of contentment and fulfillment, that is our natural state. You see, all this busyness, oh, I got to do this, this, if I don't do this, if I'm overwhelmed by it myself. It's just busy work, and it covers up who we really are, our natural state of being, which is contentment and fulfillment. When Dr. Reggie first met me, he says, you got to learn how to relax and have fun. He would want to take me out and just play all day long, and I'm sitting here thinking, I have to clean the house. I need to wash dishes because I need to get prepared for tomorrow. Everything was going through my head, and I couldn't enjoy myself because I was thinking about all the stuff that I thought I needed to do. And I'm going to tell you, the thing my father said, oh, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. You need to stay busy, stay busy. If I was not productive during the day doing something, you know, I was a disappointment. I needed to be able to sum up my day. So I didn't know how to relax. Do something for fun? No, that's not going to help me meet my needs. I can't make any money from that. And we get so caught up in that. And what he's telling us is that we need to get caught up into having no needs, trusting God for our supply. Our natural state is that of contentment and fulfillment. And it can come upon us at any time, for it is an act of grace. It's not something that we have to really work at. Like I said, we just need to let go, and it will reveal itself as we release the pressure of wanting and needing and wanting and needing and wanting and needing. Release, release, release. And that contentment, that state of contentment, that state of fulfillment will fill you up because it is your natural state. So our work is to heed Jesus' counsel, which is what? To lay up our treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. And Dr. Reggie used to say that scripture to me over and over again. I have no need for these things, Cynthia. Shift your focus, Cynthia. Where is your faith, Cynthia? God is my source. God is our source. Okay, God is my source. Where's my new car? 25 years. Okay? And I'm just breaking the surface. I hope you guys are not as slow as I have been. I hope that. I'm praying. As a matter of fact, I'm declaring and decreeing that you get this immediately. And I mean that sincerely. Because when we stop, here's what's the first thing that happens is, oh my God, if I try to live this life, I'm not going to have that car. I have to give up the car. I got to give up the house. I got to give up. And, you know, when you really move into this consciousness, none of that stuff means anything to you. And what I have noticed, Dr. Reggie and I have had to downsize. This is like our second downsize trip that we've taken. And so I did all of this work. It's not him. It's not him. It's me, okay? I'm doing all this stuff to acquire things. So I get a beautiful house filled with baby grand piano and furniture, and all the rooms are filled with furniture. Here we are in a 5-bedroom house. It's just the two of us, right? And a gym with all the equipment and, you know, get up and go downstairs and work out in the gym and all that stuff. So we move from 5,000 square feet to 2,500 square feet. Half the stuff can't use anymore. Did I miss it when it was gone? No. Did I need it? No. Now we're downsized even small, 1,200 square feet. Half of the stuff that we had gone. Do I miss it? No. Do I need it? No. As a matter of fact, I have one room in 1,200 square feet that fills boxes of stuff that I have to put. And maybe once a month, I have to go pull through those boxes for one small little thing that I may need. I went digging the boxes to look for the little screw thing, the key to unlock the garbage disposal, you know? I went through about 3 boxes trying to find that one tiny thing. But I got boxes. And what I realized, I don't need most of this stuff. It's not even important. So as I'm shedding and shedding and shedding, I'm letting go. And I also notice what happened is as I start letting a lot of stuff go that I thought that I did, I move more into a place of contentment and fulfillment. This state that he's talking about, it shifts me into a consciousness of the no-need state where I'm not asking things. You know what now happened? What I'm asking for? I'm asking for enough money to continue to teach enough money to meet just my basic needs so that I can do what gives me joy, and that is to teach. I could live in one room. That doesn't matter to me. But being able to teach, to awaken all of you to that state of consciousness, that state of awareness, where you have no needs, that you're constantly in the presence of God, is most important to me. And I know you can't imagine that life right now, but I've planted the seed. There's something so much more than all of these things. Where not a moss or rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. You can break into my house right now. Whatever is here, take it. It may mean something to you. It has no value to me. The thing that is most valuable to me is within me. Our work is to heed Jesus' counsel, to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal, because this supply, this consciousness, which is untouched by the human condition, can provide for us in the most dire situation. But our first step is to purify our motivation. A candidate for the no-need state values a consciousness of God above all. For this person knows it is supply. God is the source, but it has no avenue of expression until we are conscious of the presence. The irony is that we know we are in the kingdom when we, like the shepherd boy David, when we don't want. Just as a desire to God as a source experience no need state is the beginning of laying up treasures in heaven, so too is thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And so now what this author is telling us is, how do we move into the kingdom? And he says we move there through thanksgiving. For giving thanks and giving praise, being thankful. And this is a principle that we teach in Circles of Prosperity, shifting into the consciousness of being thankful. We only have 90 seconds left for this lesson. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to go ahead and take us into our closing prayer. Tomorrow, I want to pick up with giving thanks. I think it's so important. And then we're going to talk about demonstrating prosperity and putting things in perspective. So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing?
Mm-hmm. I unlock the doors of mind and go within to be one with the secret knowledge where all is made clear, as Jesus said. I am relaxed and serene. I am at peace with myself. I forgive all errors. I release all guilt and sorrow to flow away from me like leaves carried away by the stream. I am secure. I am nourished by the living universe. I give myself over to the higher power called God, and I suspend my cares outside of time, outside of space. All experience is unfolding as it should. Everything falls into order. And in the fullness of time, all is taken care of. Everything works for my highest good, and everything works out for me. I am 100% understanding of this. I am the mystic, like Jesus, Moses, David, Krishna, Kuan Yin, and the Ascended Master. And now it's your turn to be at one with God as the mystic in prayer and in praise. I believe it is so, and so it is.
So it is.